Why would a major museum agree to transport a piece of priceless visual art across the country or across the world? That might be a hard question to answer, but we have the man that knows the answer. Michael Tomor, who's director of the El Paso Museum of Art, is introducing plans for a unique collaboration. Welcome, Michael. It's good to have you here, as always.
Thank you. It's good to be here again, Monica.
When I read one word, I thought, holy smokes, this is huge. Guggenheim.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Guggenheim Museum is one of the world's great museums and has one of the world's great modern art collections.
And we don't have to go to New York to see it, all of it anyway.
Right. No. The nature of working with Guggenheim is that we have this wonderful opportunity to bring some of their iconic masterpieces to El Paso, particularly at a moment in time, either economically or for other reasons, with personal and family responsibilities that some people are just simply traveling less.
Yes.
And we still have a responsibility here in El Paso, and the Guggenheim has a responsibility in New York or at one of their venues in Europe to make their collections more accessible. So this truly is a unique partnership of great interest to both of our institutions.
What are some of the things that have to fall into place before an institution like the Guggenheim begins to loan pieces like original, obviously, Picasso, Cezanne, Kandinsky? I mean, this is so exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So what really has to happen, I think, from the very beginning is this trust that takes place between both institutions.
Yes.
Certainly the El Paso Museum of Art is a remarkable institution on any level, nationally and internationally. We have all of the infrastructure in place on a security level, environmental controls, and also in staffing to handle phenomenal masterpieces. The European collection that we already have on site is a great example
Yes.
of our ability to handle such important historical and cultural pieces. So I think that that's the number one challenge that large museums that have multiple iconic masterpieces will face when trying to do partnership programming with smaller institutions or more isolated institutions. That's certainly not an issue for the El Paso Museum of Art. I think the issue that we face here in El Paso is that we've not reached out to the larger institutions in an aggressive way.
Oh.
And I think that this is changing. I think that we're doing a lot more with some of the great iconic images from collections all across the country. And perhaps we'll talk another day about some of the exhibition programming in the works from Europe, which I hope to see in the next couple of years in El Paso. But for now, I think it's important that El Paso be introduced to some of these master artists' works, and not with seconds and thirds, but truly with iconic images. And the Guggenheim Museum was generous enough to understand and consider lending not pieces that were obscure, but truly some of the great works from some of the greatest artists of the late 19th and early 20th century. And I think that El Paso, having never seen an original oil on canvas by Picasso, is a telling point about where we need to be and where we will be in October.
And this is, as you just mentioned, it will be October 5th, I believe, will be the opening, and it'll be a program that runs over a period of 2 years. Is this correct?
That's correct. There are six installations
okay.
of individual or pairs of masterpieces to help elaborate on specific movements in modern art. So the first exhibition is an installation of a remarkable Cezanne from 1889, a still life, and an incredible analytic cubist piece by Picasso from 1913. And the discussion here is about the birth of cubism and what sparked a new interest in multiple perspectives on a flat canvas.
Mm-hmm.
So to have two iconic works from their collection to help us tell that story is an opportunity that would be enviable at any institution in the world.
Now, each of the six exhibitions, presentations in the series, How was that curated or organized?
It was really done by the curatorial staff at the Guggenheim Museum with some personal, professional preferences on mm-hmm. what direction we may go. So you'll notice that the Guggenheim, which has a remarkable collection of works from all around the world, including here in the United States, or artists from those places, that we really focused on the birth of modernism and European masters. Mm-hmm. And because some of those initial movements, Cubism, Expressionism, Orphism, these movements really sparked new directions in art in the 20th century and were important to discuss. So we worked together, but the works, as Karen Meyerhorf, who's in charge of one of the divisions at the museum, was saying to me, our curators didn't go for quantity. Certainly, they went for the highest of quality.
Yes. And it doesn't take much more than one masterpiece to spark a whole satellite of programs. Will you be developing lectures and presentations to complement the visual art come October?
Yeah, I mean, this is really an enormous project and a huge program for us. We're looking at 56 different programs over 2 years. Lectures, performing arts programs. We're looking at studio art classes. We're looking at art history classes at the museum to help elaborate on this time period. It's an opportunity when you're looking at one or two major masterpieces that encompass so many different movements and styles and processes mm-hmm. to put that into some sort of a context that's greater than itself. And this is our opportunity to do that, something we really can't do with a master exhibition of 60 to 70 pieces. So this is an opportunity to really contemplate and spend some time with some important works.
Between now and then, I know that mm-hmm. The opening of Gaspar Enriquez's exhibition is just around the corner.
It
terribly
is.
Exciting.
Yeah.
And I do think that's going to be just it will make a big difference as far as turning the mood regarding the ballpark.
Yes.
Setting that up as something to celebrate and enjoy. And after Gaspar's exhibit, what else will transpire between now and October?
Well, this remarkable exhibition we're bringing in over the summer from the Whatcom Museum in Washington, and it's called Vanishing Ice. It's a discussion of how glaciers and polar ice caps have influenced artists over 250 years. So the works range in date from the 18th century through the current time. And it's an opportunity for us who live in the high desert without issues of freezing or glacial melting.
Yes, knock on wood.
to have an opportunity to discuss, first of all, the beauty of that type of landscape and how it's inspired artists over the years, but also have a conversation about the environment, economic mm-hmm. concerns, vanishing ice, in our world, vanishing water in the desert. But we have a whole lineup over the summer of discussions about our environment and not just how it impacts artists, but how it impacts our condition as human beings. So we're really excited about that. I'm very excited about the Gaspar Enriquez show. You know, Gaspar is the preeminent Chicano portrait painter of North America and highly collected throughout our country. And we're bringing in works from San Francisco, from Los Angeles, from the Midwest, as well as collections all throughout Texas, and publishing a beautiful book on the artist. So we really do have a great lineup. And to coincide with the opening of the Guggenheim Masterpiece Series, we'll be borrowing some master impressionist works from the Tacoma Museum. So that includes works by Courbet, Boudin, Renoir, as a jump-off point for a discussion of the development of art of the American West. I think so many people believe that cowboy art, commercial art, or art of the American West just springs forth out of nowhere. But these great artists out of Taos all studied with the great impressionists, just like our American modernists did.
Oh, it's wonderful to make those connections.
It is. And
that's
a great way to have that discussion of how impressionism leads to modern art movements, both in American West, but also in Europe with these great modernists like Picasso and Kandinsky and Franz Marc.
It all becomes a history lesson, but it doesn't feel like it, which is my favorite part.
Yeah,
my
beautiful.
Guest today is Michael Tomor, director of the El Paso Museum of Art, telling us about plans coming up for the October 2020 2014 Solomon R. Guggenheim Masterpiece Series at the El Paso Museum of Art. For information, you can always call the Museum of Art at 532-1707 or visit elpasoartmuseum.org or check them out on Facebook. Thank you, Michael. I always appreciate your coming in.
Thanks for inviting me.